Evan, no longer puff and passing, cold turkeying, that's what you're experiencing? Well, that's why we've got Dr. Keith Scott on the line. He's a medical professional and the chairperson of the South African Drug Policy Initiative. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Keith. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Keith.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Can hear you loud and clearly. Now, Dr. Keith, we are talking going cold turkey. No matter what your substance of choice is, it can't be an easy thing. But the first thing that I want to find from you is, are there any links physically and psychologically that impact one who abruptly stops their addiction?
Can you just explain what you mean by any links between...
If one stops their drug of choice abruptly, is there anything that happens to them physically or psychologically?
Oh, yes, definitely. Sorry, I didn't understand the question. Yes, it both happens physically and psychologically, because when you take a drug, whether it's caffeine or nicotine or heroin or tick, your body adapts to it to a certain degree. So it becomes, the various neurotransmitters and chemicals in your body adapt to this continuous intake of a drug. And to go cold turkey, you obviously need a continuous intake. And then when you suddenly cease using that drug, your body has to readjust. And that's when you get withdrawal symptoms, or cold turkey, if you like to call it, which is basically withdrawal of a drug suddenly. If you taper off that drug, you won't get those symptoms. You can taper it off fairly quickly and you'll get mild symptoms. If you stop it immediately, you'll get severe symptoms. And with certain drugs, you get far more severe symptoms, also depending how much of the drug you take every day. And those symptoms can be psychological. They're more neurological, because you're not imagining them. They're actually a chemical reaction, but they give you symptoms like anxiety, confusion. You can even get delirium tremens if you stop alcohol suddenly. And then you can end up even with seizures, especially with alcohol, if you're using a lot of alcohol and you stop it suddenly. And then you can even die. And then obviously there's a crossover with physical symptoms like sweating, vomiting, nausea, stomach pains, etc.
It sounds like going cold turkey on major drugs or drugs that you are addicted to could cause death, from what you have said, should they occur into seizures. I'd like us to talk to an addict right now so that we can perhaps get their point of view. It sounds very dangerous to go cold turkey, but at this point in time where we are with the lockdown and a lot of restrictions on certain goods that you can purchase or traveling that you can or cannot do, a lot of people are experiencing these symptoms. I'm sure of that. And one such person is Kurt Eo. Thank you very much for joining us, Kurt.
Thanks, Patricia. How are you?
Excellent. And how are you doing? Are you surviving?
We try. We are trying.
Now, Kurt, I don't know if you're at liberty to share with us what your drug substance dependency is currently.
Well, I'm a nicotine addict, and I usually consume my nicotine at the moment through electronic cigarettes or vaping products.
And does it help curb the actual, edge that you usually have when you don't have your nicotine fix?
Yes, so I've been a vapor or an e-cigarette user for just over 6 years now. So, and I chose to choose a less harmful method of consuming nicotine through electronic cigarettes or vaping. And it certainly has helped, but it's becoming really difficult in these times to obtain those products, because there's literally a complete shutdown.
And how do you cope if you don't have your substance at your disposal when you need it?
Well, there's obviously a lot of agitation, mood swings. For a certain period of time, if you don't get your nicotine, you start getting things like headaches, but particularly around mood swings and agitation, which can become problematic, especially if someone is experiencing some kind of mental illness. A lot of people that have got mental illness do rely on nicotine to help them through that.
Now, Dr. Keith, the link between mental illness and substance abuse, and then obviously going cold turkey, how damaging is that link?
Well, it's damaging in a sense that, you know, we prefer to use the term a problematic drug use rather than abuse because, as Kurt said, a lot of people with mental illnesses who are using drugs are using, they're self-medicating actually, because even if they're on medication given to them by a professional, they find that a drug like tobacco and maybe other drugs like cannabis actually help them even more. So there is that link that people who have severe mental illnesses or even mild ones, in fact, tend to use either legal or illegal drugs more than people who don't have those problems. And then, of course, what happens is people who have, who are taking one drug are often taking several others, especially if they're taking illicit drugs. So you might have people, you know, who are using heroin. Most heroin smokers, cannabis smokers actually smoke tobacco as well. And so when you withdraw one of them, they have to, if they can't get hold of that one illegally or legally, they will tend to take more of another drug, which might be more dangerous, and if they are looking for an illegal drug, those drugs are often contaminated and far more dangerous. So with taking away a drug like nicotine, or shall I say tobacco, and alcohol is actually not only cruel to those people, it's exceptionally cruel, it's dangerous, they can die, and if they aren't offered a safety net, if the government, for instance, removes that drug of their choice, then they can get into a lot of trouble. And so in the medical profession, we never ask people to go cold turkey, and this is voluntary. A lot of smokers do that. We have other treatments, often with drugs, with counseling, et cetera. And so what the government has done is totally contrary to proper medical practice.
Now, what can the medical professionals do then to intervene, especially if you're saying it can be dangerous for the people around the substance users and also for the substance users themselves?
Well, you see, that's the dilemma. We've got medical professionals who are advising the government that using alcohol and tobacco is actually encourages the spread of disease, and if they stop using alcohol, they're unlikely to be as violent as they would otherwise, they're unlikely to behave irresponsibly. But when you have a public health policy, now the COVID epidemic or pandemic is a public health policy, and anything related to that has to be taken into account. And in medicine, we always look at harms versus benefits. When you're making a policy, when you're deciding on a treatment, it's standard practice every day, but if, particularly in health policies, you have to do a harms versus benefit analysis, and that has to be done scientifically. That was not done before these rules were brought in, and we've got the government who has the ear of certain medical professions who are anti-alcohol and anti-tobacco, and they're just giving the one side of the story. They're saying this drug is bad. It makes people more susceptible. It makes them more violent. Now, that might be absolutely true, depending on which aspects we're talking about. But there are harms, and some of them we've just covered now. And so one has to weigh the two up against the other. And one cannot just protect one part of the population. You have to take into account the hundreds and thousands of people who have mental illnesses and other conditions that we need to take into account when we bring in new regulations.
Join in on the conversation by calling us on 011-714-4045 or 011-714-3945. You can also WhatsApp us on 0614-104-107. SMS 41391. SMSs are charged at R1.50 each. We are talking social conversations, going cold turkey on your drug of choice. On the line, I've got Mervyn. And Mervyn is a recovering drug addict. Mervyn, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your journey in and what sort of drugs that you were taking, and how did you manage to curb it? Did you go cold turkey, or did you get other interventions, medical interventions?
So, so my name is Mervyn Canham. I've been sober for 15 years now. Actually, it was 15 years in January.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So the journey kind of, I mean, for me, it kind of started a long time ago, at the age of 15, with my addiction. And I, to cut a long story short, I went to a few rehabs, and I got clean at the age of 23. And I think a lot of medical interventions needed to happen. I didn't go cold turkey. I went to facilities that allowed me to detox off my drug of choice. At the time it was kind of everything. Towards the end of my addiction, alcohol, Mandrax, crack, that was what was really a difficult journey. But I suppose I hit rock bottom, and it was either I off myself or I get sober. I lost a brother who was addicted to alcohol. He committed suicide about 18 years ago. And for me, that didn't even keep me clean, I carried on using. I used to numb. I used to escape. I used because I liked the feeling. I also think about people that are on lockdown right now, going cold turkey. If you're addicted to alcohol, I had an uncle. Last year he passed away. He was in hospital. He was a chronic alcoholic. And he passed away because he was going cold turkey in hospital. And I think the best thing they could have done for him was they could have given him alcohol to keep him alive, because his body went into shock. And I think that's what your body knows. Your body kind of gets used to the dependency of alcohol. And he was a chronic alcoholic. I think there's a lot of things I disagree with in terms of, the alcohol ban. I get it, but I also get the struggle as well. I think people will kind of, for me, I went to any lengths to get high. I suppose given in these times, I just kind of think what I would have done, I'd make a plan, because of desperation, and my life revolved around using, and obviously, I think, I'm grateful that the 12-step program. I think also now during these times, what's happening is we're doing a lot of online meetings, 12-step meetings, and I'm grateful for that. But I miss the interactions of actually sitting in a meeting with alcoholics, with drug addicts, and that are in recovery. So it's difficult. I also get the difficulty for. Then there's also been a lot of relapses as well.
During this time of lockdown?
During this time, yeah.
Okay. And Mervin, I'd like you to explain to us, when you say there have been a lot of relapses, is it from the group, the support group that you are part of?
Yeah, I suppose. People are not getting the sufficient support. I kind of think about, for me, it's around people don't have accessibility to these platforms like Zoom. Number one, people are in the townships. There are meetings in the townships, but I suppose everything is run by via Zoom. So what's happening is people are not getting access to those platforms. So a lot of people are falling.
And going back into the addiction. And now, yeah. Dr. Keith, Mervin made a very important observation here, that his uncle was an alcoholic, admitted into hospital for other complications, but in hospital was not given alcohol and he relapsed. Is there anything else that could have been done in the medical profession for a person who is an addict, known addict, going into a medical facility for a different sort of condition? Is there anything that could have been done for him?
Well, obviously, I can't comment on his uncle because, it could have been anything that had contributed to his death, which is very unfortunate, especially as he was under treatment. Generally, nowadays, I think most rehab units in the medical context, as opposed to the psychological, they use substitute drugs, benzodiazepines. to get people to get them through the cold turkey. Well, isn't that your cold turkey, because you're damping the system? So I really don't know what the situation was. I don't think many places now use taper off the alcohol in as an inpatient. Obviously, if you're advising someone and they want to gradually go off themselves and they're not in danger, then you could just support them.
Back to you, Kurt. You say you are on e-cigarettes right now, and it's really difficult for you to get some of the supplies that you require. Would you go cold turkey, knowing very well the effects that it would have on your body, or would you rather go to any lengths to get your e-cigarettes?
Well, my number one goal is to stay off cigarettes completely. So I would have to literally become an outlaw or a criminal to get whatever I need to sustain the nicotine vaping. I know that there are a number of people out there that have gone to great lengths to try get hold of their e-liquid, which contains nicotine, and I've even heard of some people trying to make up their own stuff, which is incredibly dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. So for me personally, my number one goal is to stay off the cigarettes itself. And if I can't, I don't want to cross that bridge. I really don't. I would try my best to go cold turkey, but I can't trust myself. You know, you get to a point where, you know, your addiction will take over. You need that nicotine. You need that fix. And I don't want to get there. And I think it's grossly unfair that, that we've got laws or policies at this point in time that's preventing people from getting the substances that they depend on. I understand I don't understand why the government considers tobacco smoke as a problem. Because there is no real evidence to suggest that tobacco smoke increases your risk of contracting COVID, or even even having a worse case of getting COVID. I understand if you had the virus or you've had a long-term illness like COPD or lung cancer. That's a different scenario, but people that are smoking that don't have those underlying conditions, there's no evidence that I've seen that suggests that you stand a higher risk.
Thank you so very much for joining us, Kurt, and I'd like us to just move on to Dr. Keith. Dr. Keith, as the chairperson of the South African Drug Policy Initiative, please tell us what are some of the initiatives that you are going to put forward and address in order for people who are on any substance, any sort of drug, not to incur the hardships of going cold turkey due to the lockdown conditions that we're currently under.
Well, the South African Drug Policy Initiative was started by a number of professionals like myself, criminologists, doctors, social scientists, etc., a few years ago, because we realized that the drug laws that are controlling illegal drugs, which cannabis was then, and other drugs like cocaine, etc., are doing more harm than the drugs themselves. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, people are buying contaminated drugs, they're sharing needles, they haven't got the support, they're ostracized, et cetera, et cetera. And then, obviously, one of the big factors is the criminal element. As we know in the Western Cape, we've got a gangster problem. And as soon as you ban something, whenever you ban the trade in something that people really, really want, you only drive that trade underground. That's exactly what happens every time. And that's another reason we've been lobbying government and other political parties and trying to educate people that actually the problem that's killing their families and stuff is not the drugs themselves so much, although they are dangerous. Any drug is dangerous, including alcohol. But it's the laws and the way that people are exploited and by the police and by the criminals. And then what happened is when the government brought in these regulations at the beginning of the lockdown, which banned the sale of alcohol and drugs,
we realized we better speak up, because that's exactly what happened with the currently illegal drugs, other than those two. And we sent out a press release and spoke to various people and said this is not a good thing. And then obviously after about 3 or 4 weeks, when lockdown was about to end, all these things came to the fore, that people were selling illegal cigarettes, they were brewing their own alcohol, they were buying illegal alcohol, etc. And it's interesting, this whole lockdown has demonstrated exactly what happens, which we've been saying about other drugs. When you ban a drug, people just buy, go underground. And then the people get arrested, et cetera, et cetera. So there's more harm to society and individuals than the laws themselves.
We've got a WhatsApp voice note here that I'd like us to listen to. Remember, you can join in as well on the conversation on 011-714-4045 or 011-714-3945. WhatsApp 0614-104-107.
Patricia, quite an interesting show that you have. I wanted to know, firstly, from your doctor panel and guest, why does he say that the decision that was taken goes against the old medical advice and practice? And I want to know that, because in the government, you've got doctors. Why does he think it goes against medical advice? Number two, why would his colleagues in government who are leading in this COVID drive against the COVID, would they go against medical advice?
Dr. Keith, you hear the question there from our listener.
Yes, I do. Thank you for the question. I appreciate the opportunity to clarify. I didn't say that they went against medical advice. What I said was that there are two sides of the story. When you have a public health policy proposal, you look at the benefits versus the downside. In other words, the risks versus benefits when you make that policy. And you have to do a risk versus a benefit analysis whenever you institute a public health policy. So there are drawbacks to people using alcohol. There are drawbacks to people using tobacco. But they also drawbacks by suddenly withdrawing those drugs from people who have addictions and have mental illnesses, which is what happened in this situation. So what I'm actually saying is that there are medical people. There's some medical people who take one side of it, and other medical people who take the other side of the story, like we do in the South African Drug Policy Initiative. We say you cannot just withdraw drugs like that. So it's really a question of doing the health versus harms analysis first.
Now, as we round off the conversation, Mervin, your thoughts on going cold turkey?
No, I completely disagree with that. I think people need to get medical help. I mean, I work in a psychiatric facility with people with depression, and I see that struggle with the cigarettes. You know, people going cold turkey is a struggle, because I suppose that's one vice they need to kind of cope. You know what I mean? And on the other hand, also I work in the dual diagnosis unit where. With the drug addicts and alcoholics, they need appropriate medication to help them detox. You know, I disagree with cold turkey.
Thank you so very much.
It puts people at risk. People could die. I mean, with heroin addicts, they could die from withdrawals. With alcoholics, they can't die. You know what I mean? Like. Because your body becomes so dependent on this, and it's a serious thing. In my opinion, what should have happened in the beginning was we should have had spaces where, you know, where we were kind of, you know, giving people methadone or something, you know, to help them during this time, you know, and I suppose that wasn't there. These things should have been put in place.
Thank you so very much, Mervin. As we close off with Dr. Keith, let's just hear your last pointers on going cold turkey and what you can do as the chairperson of the South African Drug Policy Initiative.
Well, yes, I would advise people who want to give up, stop taking a drug. If it's a mild drug like caffeine, and even people who don't smoke a lot, you can do it yourself, do some homework. And if you're not happy, if you're not sure, go and see your doctor or local health facility. Hopefully they'll be able to help you. In terms of the South African Drug Policy Initiative, our thrust is mainly to try and change the legislation to legalize drugs and control them properly and not leave them in the hands of criminals. We're not directly involved in treating patients. It's more about the wider perspective of changing the legislation.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Keith. And it's time for the news with Zoleka Kutashe.